Zali under house arrest.
BBC correspondent Ben Brown reporting from Harare, Zimbabwe. One of the nation's largest domed stadiums has been reduced to rubble in downtown Atlanta. The Georgia Dome was imploded this morning with nearly 5,000 pounds of explosives. It had been the home of the Atlanta Falcons. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my sidekick, as always, Sean.
Hello.
How's your week going, Sean?
Not bad. It's raining really hard out there, and I don't often go walking around downtown in the rain at night. So I was just kind of like, wow, this is a noir film just waiting to happen right here.
Has this weather gotten in the way of your nighttime lurkings around your neighborhood?
Yeah, kind of, you know.
Or do you have like
a
murderous slicker like in I Know What You Did Last Summer that you wear around?
Here's the thing. My nocturnal lurkings are strictly...
I'm not hearing a no, first off, but sorry, go ahead.
They're strictly a reaction to the summer temperatures.
I see.
You know, there's no point during winter other than, you know.
So when it's cold and rainy out, you're content to stay inside.
I didn't say that.
I don't know. What are you saying? What do you do?
No, yes. That's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So while you didn't say
I was just being evasive for no reason.
Mysterious.
I was testing you. Yeah.
So, you know, we haven't really addressed this, but man, is it just blowing up in the news. There is a lot of molesting going on in this world.
Yeah. You know, more than you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. I personally was not all that shocked. I'm not all that shocked by it.
Neither am I, frankly.
I'm definitely quite disappointed at some of the names that come out.
Yeah, well, Louis C.K. made me
Louis C.K.
sad.
Al Franken.
Yeah, I don't really know or care about Al
Franken. Yeah, I mean, I don't really care about him as a senator. I just remember on PBS with my mom, we used to watch his specials where he'd play piano and do comedy, and I liked him.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's really upsetting. It's hard to know what kind of reaction to have.
I think we can all consistently be disappointed that Kevin Spacey's on that list.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, he was like America's dad from American Beauty.
I thought Bill Cosby was America's dad.
Well, apparently they're both America's dad now.
Right, you know, that's kind of...
they're both America's dad, and America's dad is shady.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
America's weird stepdad, maybe.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Do you think this is going to cause some sort of change in this world?
Well, it does seem, you know, different this time. You know, it's just a cascade of revelation. So, you know, maybe this is just a momentary tantrum and it'll all be back to business as usual. Or maybe it's the start of, you know, people... really changing and wising up and realizing that kind of behavior isn't acceptable.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's another angle to bring in on that, and that is that people are shady in general, and so
right.
This can
well,
lead
that's...
to a lot of sort of blackmailing, witch hunty sort of stuff. I'm not saying that the people who are being called out, that's going on now, but
yeah.
But I mean, it's bound to start happening.
Yeah, I mean. I think for most of these people we're looking at, it's like, you know, it's more than one person, right?
Right.
You know, it's typically a pattern of many different people at different places, different times, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's almost like there's this weird equation that money and power equals I can do whatever I want.
I think that's exactly it, maybe. I also think that, you know, for most of, you know... the time that these people have been in the working world, it was just kind of like, oh, everyone's doing it.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Yeah, totally.
So it's like now it's unacceptable. I mean, it was always unacceptable. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I think the argument could easily be made that it used to be acceptable.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think in a lot of cases, these people would not have done anything so stupid if they'd... I think in a lot of cases, people are like, you know, they'll do as much as they can get away with.
Yeah. Fear is a great, great motivator.
Yeah. I mean, that's horrible because you'd think, like, you know, isn't there an altruistic part of people where they limit themselves and, you know, don't do things just because it's not a good thing to do? But no,
right.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, I was kind of hoping that, you know, in the last election, I was kind of hoping that both sides were going to come together and basically say we found a common enemy in corporations and big money that's trying to take over our lives, you know, and here we're seeing a big situation of people with money and power exercising that power over other people,
yeah.
You know, so it'd be nice if we could team up and really realize that we have a common enemy and let's work on that and maybe establish some sort of rapport and then work on the stuff that both sides just can't agree on.
Well, unfortunately, Bernie Sanders lost the primary. So,
see, it's attitudes like that, though, that are going against what I'm currently trying to say.
Okay. Well, I really don't... Here's the thing. I think both parties, both, you know, everyone along the spectrum is, like, in agreement that the world is ruled by an evil cabal bent on plundering it at the expense of the future of mankind for their own short-sighted gain.
Right.
We just disagree about who those people are.
And we didn't even script our way around to this topic, did we?
No, but I mean, it all comes back there.
It does, because our guest tonight, it is a first-time topic for us.
Yeah.
And our guest tonight is Isaac Weisop, I think.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is really his last name or if this is a play on Wise Up.
No. Well, it's the founder of the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati. His name was Adam Weishaupt, last name.
Oh, well,
so I don't know if this guy is like a distant relation, just trying to undo the work of his nefarious, you know,
undo the curse,
or whether it's, you know, just a funny coincidence, or whether he chose it for other reasons.
Well, part of what he's talking about is occultism, so maybe he's trying to undo the curse.
Yeah, maybe.
That's freaky. So, you know, maybe there is an Illuminati of these powerful, you know, I don't know if personally I'm ready, you know, maybe after this interview I'll be ready to put the name Illuminati on it.
Right. I'm keeping an open mind here because, like, the Illuminati, they were a thing, though. You know, they were a society in 17th century Bavaria or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... As far as I remember, they were kind of like a free thinkers, enlightenment, anti-religious kind of group,
mm-hmm.
Who were going against the Catholic authorities in the area. I'm sure some of this will be corrected by our guest. And as far as I know, they kind of died out after that, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's really, that definition that you just gave it is not too big of a difference in definition from the Freemasons, is it?
Well, as far as I know, the Freemasons were, like, avowedly religious, right?
No, I don't. I don't think
okay.
So.
Okay.
And in fact, even our founding fathers, I'm under the impression, were a specific type
of... The founding fathers were, in fact, very much like the historical Illuminati in terms of views and the time period.
And Bavaria kind of sounds like a place where old money would come from.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, at the time, I seem to recall they were kind of fighting against the man in mm-hmm. Bavaria, but I don't know. I guess the Illuminati sold out. And
they were like the Scarlet Pimpernel or something? They were kind of like the good guys at the time?
Yeah, well, exactly, but, you know.
Isn't the Scarlet Pimpernel like that French Zorro or something?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but the point is that they sold out.
All right. Well, you are listening to Radio Wasteland, and when we come back, we have our guest, Isaac Weisop, and we will be discussing the Illuminati and occultism here in America.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of the Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Hi, I'm Brian Martin, General Manager at River Common Senior Living, formerly known as River Oaks Retirement Community. A new name, but the same caring staff, engaged residents, and beautiful community with a new family-run ownership. The goal of the new owners is to carry on the philosophy of always doing the right thing and creating an engaged and caring environment for both the residents and the staff, while preserving the distinguished designation of Best Retirement Community in the North State 7 years in a row. River Commons is a warm, relaxed, carefree environment where the freedoms from daily chores allows you the opportunity to enjoy companionship and time for the things you enjoy the most. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Hi, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're here with our guest, Isaac Weisop. Am I saying that correctly, Isaac?
Yes, sir. I actually like the previous explanation of wise up. That's a pretty entertaining...
yeah, I didn't know. It took Sean giving me the history to know where the last name came from.
The probably erroneous history, because I am not an expert in the Illuminati by any means.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not my real name. It's a pseudonym. I use a pseudonym for various reasons. Obviously, the material I talk about is controversial, and people like Google want to say I'm a subversive, but I'm really just trying to explore these ideas and trying to make sense out of what's going on, because most people understand that there is something going on with our entertainment, and you know, people want to call it the Illuminati or whatever. But the fact remains that there's a following of this and trying to understand what exactly is happening and where they are taking us.
Well, let's start with the first question that I normally ask our guests, and that's, how did you get started in this topic? What got you interested?
Well, okay, so I've had kind of a lifelong sort of obsession with these dark arts, so to speak, and I was raised in a household that was a sort of non-denominational Christian upbringing. I always had sort of a resistance to it. I found myself drawn to a lot of sort of death metal or gangster rap music, a lot of stuff that, you know, the church told me I shouldn't be paying attention to. And it kind of followed me, it still follows me to this day, but like I've always had this kind of a, obsession with it. And it didn't hit me until I started my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com. I just kind of casually was talking about some of the ideas and conspiracies related to David Icke, because he, at the time, he was the only one that made a lot of sense to me. He's the guy that talks about the reptilian shapeshifters. So what I was doing was I was just sharing some of the ideas he had, and I found that it was resonating with a lot of people, so I dug a little deeper, and in the last 5 years, 6 years, I've been just going through all kinds of literature of the occult and different ideas of these different groups that are supposedly part of the quote-unquote Illuminati. And what I found is that a lot of the entertainment that I digest, and that's where the paradox is for me personally, and I want to share it with others because I think a lot of people are in the same camp I am. A lot of us are drawn to these messages and manipulations and brainwashing of entertainment and don't realize what the motivation and the spirit is behind it, because when you peel it back and understand what it is they're doing and what it is they're saying and why they're showing us a symbol where they're covering up one of their eyes, then you find out that it is indeed a control system. And that's the million-dollar question of who's behind it and where are they taking us. And in my latest book, The Dark Path, because I've written several books. I don't even know how many I've written. A bunch of them on a whole bunch of different topics. But my most recent one was trying to take everything I learned and encapsulate it in a message such that it doesn't come off as one of your standard textbook crazy conspiracy theorists, because that's not me at all. I work a 9-to-5 job in a professional environment. But to me, when you read the literature of the occultists like Aleister Crowley or the Church of Satan, when you read their literature and what they believe in and where they want to take society, you find out that our entertainment aligns itself directly with these things.
And so, you know, how ingrained in our entertainment do you think this is? Do you think it's like, basically, you don't get in unless you're a part, or do you think that it's they get in and then recruit most of them?
Essentially, it is kind of what you're saying. It's this idea that if you're not willing to push the same message and the same symbols, you're not going to get the path that, you know, opens up all of the doors for you. When you look at Katy Perry, for example, and I don't know the wokeness levels of your audience, but so I might keep this a little bit more basic, because I know the people that follow like my podcast and stuff, they might be a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole than most. But like, if you listen to Katy Perry, when she first came out, she had a gospel album because her father was a pastor, or is a pastor, I should say, in the church. And she was trying to break through as a gospel artist, and it did not open the doors for her. It did not work. It flopped. So then she said she quite literally sold her soul to the devil, and then she had the breakout single of I Kissed a Girl, which, you know, I want to put the disclaimer out there that I'm more liberal than most of the conspiracy community. Most of the conspiracy community seems to be very right-wing and very conservative and, you know, kind of against the idea of supporting the LGBTQ community, and I'm not with that camp.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, that it's not that a girl kissing a girl is the problem. It's that she made this 360 flip.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's why she was allowed to do it, because, you know, right or wrong, there is this idea of pushing what they call the antinomianism, which is this idea of supporting the adversary, which is ties into, like, the ideas of Satanism. It's anything that's opposed to the norms of today's society. And like I said, right or wrong, because, I mean, when you look at the statistics, like, I took a social problems course in college. You look at the statistics of, like, you know, suicide, for example, in that community, you know, it's an issue, the way we treat the people that are members of that community. So, like, I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't support them in a certain way. I'm just saying that if you don't get in line with the goals, you're not going to be allowed the same opportunities as others. Like, another example is Dave Chappelle. You know, Dave Chappelle, he was offered millions and millions of dollars for season 3 of his show, and he walked away from it, and he was very open about how the people that he was working with were into some weird stuff. And he didn't exactly define what that was, but as you know, watching the media the last few weeks, you find out that a lot of these people in the entertainment industry are standing by idly while there's all kinds of sexual abuse of, you know, children, misconduct on all sorts of levels, and they allow it to happen because they live in a different world than we do. Roman Polanski,
there's
a great example of that.
Something very Eyes Wide Shut about it.
Exactly, yeah. And it's funny because the conspiracy community has been talking about this for many years. In fact, David Icke supposedly predicted Jimmy Savile, who was a UK very prominent person. I think he was even a knighted personality over there. He predicted that, or said that he was a child abuser on that level. And after Jimmy Savile's death, it turned out to be true. And, you know, we find this happen over and over again. So the question is, why do they do this stuff? Why are they into this sort of odd abuse of, you know, kids? And when you look at it, you could possibly explain it as, you know, some of these ideas of connections to another dimension, which sounds kind of odd, but like, you know, I'm trying to not go too deep down the rabbit hole on you guys, but
oh no, that's like, we're open.
A lot of the occultists, they believe in this sort of, you know, it's called a cult, which means hidden. They believe that there's another dimension. That's why they do the symbols, the symbolism, because they believe it speaks to us on a subconscious level. They believe that a lot of these concepts that you find in esoteric belief systems, the Rosicrucians or the witches or just ceremonial magicians, they believe that using powers of the mind, you can control the world. You can create reality, sort of like what we saw in the New Age documentary called The Secret. They right. believe in a different, an alternate history of the world, one in which God, their version of God, created the world through mental emanations. That's why you see the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, because those spheres, those sephirot, they represent the different emanations of God. And when they practice magic, they're doing it quite literally. They're doing it because they think they can make contact with entities from some other dimension. And the reason they do that is multifaceted as well. But that's why when you hear artists like Beyonce talk about how she's channeling Sasha Fierce through her and she feels her spirit come through her, she's not joking. She's saying that literally. And she's not the only one to say that kind of stuff. They all do. Jay-Z talks about the Rain Man. And the list goes on and on of different artists who talk about these, you know, alter egos and different personalities they channel. In fact, on 60 Minutes just 2 weeks ago, they had this piano prodigy named Alma Deusser. And she, you know, I'm going to mess these dates up, but I think like by the age of 9, she had written a whole entire opera. They're calling her the next Mozart. And during the interview, the journalist interviewing her asked her about, you know, how do you come up with this stuff? And she says, oh, well, I talked to these different personalities, and she even named them. She had names for them. And the journalist says, oh, wow, she's got invisible friends. And it's like, no, dude, like there's so many artists that say they're able to, like, contact these other personalities and entities and sort of channel them. But when you understand all the different belief systems of the occultists, it all lines up to the same concept of making contact with entities or spirits from some other dimension.
So it's like a religion for the rich.
I don't know if it's for the rich per se.
Religion for the power seeking, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. You know, I can't help but think that the control system is generally run by the elitist, the wealthy, because, you know, they've got, you know, people who aren't in that status of wealth, you know, we're just trying to check to make the house payment, you know.
Right.
They've got a little bit more free time on their hands, and they feel like there's a higher calling for them.
Well, let me cut you off right there. We're coming up onto our first commercial break, but I got a lot more questions for you. This is very interesting. You're listening to Isaac Weisop here on Radio Wasteland.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
We're Billy and Patrick for Kia's Light Up the Holidays sales event. We both own Kias and we love them.
Light up your holidays and make no payments until after the new year on Reading Kia's award-winning lineup.
Great deals are waiting for you right now in the 2018 Kia Sorento, the highest-ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017. With available 7-passenger seating and all-wheel drive, Kia Sorento sets the bar a little higher.
The 2017 Kia Niro Hybrid is the highest-ranked small SUV in initial quality. The fuel economy is outstanding, and like all Kias, it's backed by America's best warranty.
Test drive a 2018 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage, the SUV that can tackle the toughest roads with confidence. It's a KBB Best Buy.
And the 2018 Kia Soul is ready to light up your holidays, too. Kia Soul, the highest-ranked compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality in 2017.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes with every new Kia purchase.
Reading Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, readingkia.com.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Reading Concrete is proud to help bring high school football to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Reading Concrete is your local Ready Mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality Ready Mix product at competitive prices is our primary goal. Reading Concrete, located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Reading Concrete, serving you with a quality Ready Mix product.
The classic Christmas story for over 150 years comes to the Riverfront Playhouse. Our Yuletide offering this season is Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol, adapted by Brian Way, directed by Tom Kersman, beginning November 11th and every weekend through December 9th. Reserve your tickets now at the Cascade Theater box office, by phone at 243-8877, or online at cascadetheater.org. The Christmas Carol. See it at the Riverfront Playhouse, 1620 East Cypress Avenue in Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Isaac Weissot. So, Isaac, here's part of where my confusion on this topic lies, and that is the agenda, I'm a little confused as to if the, okay, so we live in this world that's highly polarized of, you know, these right-wing thinkers and these left-wing thinkers. And both seem to like to use the term Illuminati or the controlling class and throw it around, yeah, as part of their message. From what you've learned, can you tell if this Illuminati is more in line with one side or the other? Because, I mean, it seems like they're pushing, I mean, if we're talking things like pop music and stuff like that, it seems like they're pushing left-winged ideas.
Yeah, I would say you're not wrong in saying that the liberal side of the spectrum, because they are typically more involved with the entertainment industry, they seem to be more into these kind of concepts. But I think it's like a false dichotomy. It's kind of like what David Icke coined, the problem reaction solution. It's this idea of creating a friction and making sort of chaos, like, you know, they call Donald Trump the chaos candidate. It's sort of like making people fight with one another instead of worrying about what's really happening.
So maybe more like, so misdirection.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening. you've got, like, for instance, I don't want to get into that topic. some of the stuff I've read online suggests that, you know, John Podesta, he was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager at one point, that suggests that he is in pursuit of making contact with aliens. And when you look at some of these different histories of the occult, you find that that's always been the agenda. The agenda has always been to make contact with otherworldly entities because they believe in this. It all goes back to the Konstantin Tsiolkovsky. He was the guy that pretty much invented the ancient alien ideas. Zechariah Sitchin, he elaborated on them a little bit further and started talking about the Anunnaki, and then the ancient alien shows, obviously, everyone's familiar with that. But if you look at what these people believe, is they believe that, like, the real God, the real religion should be belief in alien beings. And it's quite curious because if you watch, I don't know what season it was, but one of the episodes on ancient aliens, they were talking about Lucifer and how he was like this misunderstood angel and he was an alien who just came here to help us. And that ties into pretty much everything I've read about the occultists. Is they, you know, like the Freemasons, they don't worship a Christian God. They just say they worship a grand creator. That's the G on that compass and square. But who is this grand creator? They think it's like a source of light or enlightenment, which is why we get the idea of the Illuminati. They're the enlightened ones. Because, like I said, they have an alternate sort of version of history where they believe in this whole sort of evolution from aliens, sort of, or through extra, a deity, like a god that was able to create the world through the powers of the mind. And, you know, where they want to take us is for man to become like God, to create the world through his own mind.
Yeah, this sort of mix of alien and occultism and stuff like that, it definitely brings to mind for me this sort of, like, Cthulhu mythos Lovecraft kind of thing, where you're not entirely sure if they're old gods or aliens or both. So it's interesting to have the combination of mysticism and occultism in with this science and alien and transdimensional thoughts.
Yeah, that Cthulhu stuff is interesting too, because, like, some of the concepts, there's a guy named Peter Levenda. He's, I don't want to say he's an occultist, but he's very knowledgeable on the subject. He's written several books, and he wrote a book about H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu and some of the ties that this sort of beast from the abyss has with different ideas of occultism. And it's an interesting play, because when you look at H.P. Lovecraft or H.R. Giger, he's the guy who made the props for the alien films.
The biotechnology artist.
Yes, yeah. They all said that they were in touch with some kind of dark force or dark spirit when they created these sort of nightmarish visions that they did.
So, to what do we have any suspicion as to what end the purpose of this control is? Is it solely a grasp of power, or is it to stop a coming of something, or, you know, there must be some purpose.
Right. So if you look at what a lot of these people talk about, they talk about the great work. It's this idea that they feel like they're helping us, not to defend them, but I feel like they think they're helping enlighten the masses because they want all of us to become like gods, which is of no coincidence that that's what was promised to Eve in the Bible when the serpent approached her, was that they could make man like God. So where they're taking us is the way of, like, Aleister Crowley, he's the infamous occultist. He talked about the new age that we're living in is the Aeon of Horus. That's the age of the crowned and conquering child. He said it was going to be an age of magical expression. And he said that the final times were going to be these the birth pains of the Aeon of Horus. So what they're doing is they're instilling different ideas and themes into entertainment and trying to get us to wake up to their version of reality slowly, because they still have to, like, destroy our, you know, our Christian fundamentals or whatever religious system people believe in. They have to destroy all that first. And ultimately, when you sync this up with the trends in technology and you look at things like Moore's Law, where the transistors that fit on a chip double every 2 years, it's what sits on an exponential curve, which sounds kind of like, you know, not a big deal, but the problem they're finding is that our human brains only think linearly. So the technology is increasing at a rate that we are not able to comprehend. So what that means is by the year 2035, 2040, just depends on who you listen to, they believe we're going to hit the singularity. This is the point where technology and, you know, artificial intelligence or whatever will surpass the human brain in capacity. And at this point, I believe that they're going to push us into, like, a digital matrix scenario, because, you know, either we'll destroy the earth to the point where we have to, you know, put ourselves in little pods or whatever. But the idea is they want to upload our consciousness into a digital format. And there's all kinds of supporting evidence for that, but that's essentially where they want to take us.
Yeah, but still, to what end? I mean, it's solely like we're the sheep and they are trying to protect the flock, or, you know,
they want to make us immortal. So, like, if you read the sequels to Arthur C. Clarke, he's the one who wrote 2001: A Space Odyssey.
I've read a lot of people. Tons of Clarke. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and in his three or four sequels after that, I read through them, and you find out that the alien intelligences, the big black monolith cube that came and enlightened the astronaut David Bowman, they are trying to evolve mankind into themselves, because they are immortal beings of digital consciousness that just, you know, stream across the universe. So when you hear all this talk about going back to the stars and colonizing Mars and doing all this other stuff, you line that up with technology and, you know, different ideas, like when they talk about these things called mind files, where you can upload your whole personality as an avatar into a digital substrate and have digital beings interact with one another. That's them perfecting the technology, because they believe that they can make us all become like gods.
I've got to say, this sounds pretty good to me. Like, I don't know, immortal, living in a world that we created to be,
a paradise
or whatever. That sounds, you know, fairly desirable.
Right. You're falling for it then,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Do they have, like, a mailing list? Can I sign up for the...
Yeah, so that's a good point, Sean. So, well... Dang, we got 1 minute. So I guess we're going to go to break, but the question that I'm going to ask when we come back, and I'll let you marinate on this, is, are they actually bad guys? Because it kind of seems like what they're selling to us is not necessarily all that bad. You're listening to our guest, Isaac Weisop, here on Radio Wasteland.
Back on Earth, it's all you're real about. gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Everyone's looking for more out of life. But what exactly does more mean, and how and where do we find it? At Shasta College, more is whatever you want it to be. More degree and career options in virtually any field imaginable, from business and technology to healthcare, liberal arts, and beyond. More opportunities. The evolving economy requires well-trained, tech-savvy employees, and salaries are growing as fast as demand. Finally, there's more support. Shasta College is more than just a community college. It's a living, breathing academic community where every student has the chance to connect, be inspired, and achieve their career and life goals. A new semester starts soon at Shasta College, and there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Visit ShastaCollege.edu to browse classes, apply, and register before classes start filling up. There's more for you at Shasta this semester. Come see what we're all about. Shasta College. More possibilities.
Mark, I've been so busy getting ready for the holidays. Any idea where I can grab a bite on the run?
I have just the place. This month's second Tuesday will be at Jersey Mike's. It's the perfect place to pick up a delicious sandwich while running all those holiday errands.
What a fantastic suggestion, Mark. I can't get enough of Jersey Mike's famous Philly hot sub.
Please join us Tuesday, December 12th at Jersey Mike's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to enjoy a savory sandwich served with a smile. They have generously donated a portion of their lunch proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the homeless animals of the North State.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Cascade Christmas is coming soon, an all-new show for the whole family. Don't miss this holiday spectacular. Free pictures with Santa after all 2 p.m. shows, so bring your camera. Tickets on sale now at cascadetheater.org or call 243-8877.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Isaac Weisop, and we are talking about the Illuminati. And before we went to break, we raised the question because it seems like some of these things that they want to give us are not necessarily bad. So are they bad? Are they the enemy? Maybe you might consider that they're the enemy solely because they're trying to control us. But what do you think, Isaac? Are they the enemy?
I think that's a great question, and that's kind of the aim that I have, is to take what the mainstream media tries to label conspiracy theorists as, and, you know, because right now everyone dismisses conspiracy theorists, especially now with all the fake news thing, but I think we need to have an open dialogue about this, because before we know it, we're going to be faced with this choice. And look, I'm not above saying, yeah, that sounds great, I don't want to die. Like, I get that. I get that totally. But I think there's a more kind of philosophical basis behind this. Like, if you consider, you know, is technology, you know, things that are supposed to be connecting us, are they truly connecting us? You know, you hang out with friends and go out to dinner, you know, they're on their cell phones, and it's weird because they'd rather spend time looking at how other people are supposedly living on Facebook, when really Facebook's just more or less full of narcissists trying to pretend their lives are better than they are.
I agree, wholly and fully. Well, nobody's, you know, ever posting the bad times on Facebook. Nobody's all, hey, I fought with my wife until 3 in the morning on Facebook. You know, it's like, right, nobody's posting that.
Well, some people are, but we hate those people.
Yeah, we do.
Bring
hate
us
them.
Down.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, like people want to live in sort of a fake version of reality, and I think that the Illuminati will craft a digital matrix such that it will be enticing. What's the danger in this, right? Well, I believe, like, to have this sort of false immortality is to sort of give up this freedom of choice or free will, and it sort of denies the purpose and the experience of being a human and having relationships with other human beings. Because humans are, we're messy, we're full of faults, and God created us in His image. And, you know, allowing man to create us in man's image is a dangerous concept. Right now, look at what they do with technology. They, you know, Facebook and all these social medias and Google, they're all tracking every single thing that we all do, what we look at, what our preferences are, and they're building models and predicting our behaviors, and they're doing it for different reasons. You know, generally I would say it's to monetize and to, serve as ads that we click on that makes them money. But the end game I'm concerned with is us going into their digital matrix where they would have the complete control. I wouldn't go as far as to say that they'll be able to control us in our every move, but our behaviors and responses will definitely be predictable at this point. Another concept we can consider is, like, if you look at you go back in history, look at the Gnostics. These were sort of the occult version of Christianity. They believe that the world we live in is a prison, and they surely would subscribe to this idea of having a digital matrix where we can escape off this, this torturous planet that they believe we live in. And the problems, if you want to talk about the paranormal, if you look at those ghost hunting shows, right, they always have little electronic recorders or video cameras set up, and inevitably the power goes out on them, and they'll say, oh, we had the batteries charged up. But the idea here is that, invisible forces from another dimension, they are able to manipulate electronics. So, like, do we want to all have our souls trapped in a system of electronics when we don't really understand the paranormal and what it can do? Like, who's to say that they don't, you know, unplug us once all the souls get put into this matrix?
Yeah, I've definitely learned that, with all this molesting and stuff going on in the news, it's a prime example of people with power don't tend to be out for the best of reasons. And so it kind of leads me to believe, that there must be some sort of nefarious reason behind this, maybe occupying our bodies once we're put into that situation, and now the other dimension can come through and occupy our bodies. I don't know, it also kind of seems like in your ideas there's some sort of room for the idea of Goldstein's Bible. Are you familiar with Goldstein's Bible?
No.
Goldstein's Bible was the book from 1984 that they used to weed out people who were free thinkers. And so they would give them this book, and that's how they found free thinkers, was by creating this sort of fake underground to weed out free thinkers, and then now we have them,
Yeah, I believe that stuff like that, they want to control the narrative. That's why there was this big push for the fake news thing, which, while there are valid concepts here, lots of websites that are indeed fake news, and they're just making clickbait articles that are completely nonsensical. But that's no different than the tabloids, the National Enquirer and stuff. They do that, but they seem to get away with it just fine. But they're trying to lump the whole conspiracy community in with this fake news argument, which concerns me, because I believe they want their message to be the only message. They want to control the attitudes of the masses. And, talking about this recent revelation of all this sexual misconduct going on in entertainment, I feel like, there's a little bit of a psyop going on there, because, they want us to believe that, for 10, 15 years, everyone knew about this stuff, but all of a sudden, now we're going to talk about it, and now we're going to, reveal all these secrets about what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know what to make of it yet. I mean, there's different ideas for why they're doing it, but believe you me, there's a reason why they are exposing all of these people that they kept concealed for so many years.
Yeah, like they're making them either take one for the team or they weren't playing on the right team and therefore they're getting rid of them.
Something, or it's a distraction from something bigger going on. You know, it could be many things.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our show here, Isaac. Can you tell our audience a little bit on how they can find out more about you?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. My website's IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram. You can link up with all those through IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a lot of books on Amazon, and I self-narrated many books on Audible.com. That's a very popular option. My most recent book is The Dark Path. That's easily my best work. That's the one that I use actual citations and literature from the occult and explain what is going on and why they're doing what they're doing and where they're taking us.
All right. Well, I've really appreciated having you on the show. This was really a new topic for us, although a topic that is regularly touched down upon while dealing with other topics. So, I mean, it's a good one to have because, like you're saying, it's potentially very systemic through
Yeah, there's a lot of truth buried in there for sure.
But thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to our guest, Isaac Weisop, here on Radio Wasteland.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The United States is putting North Korea back on the list of state sponsors of terror.
Saying the move should have been made years ago, President Trump described the North Korean government as a murderous regime.
North Korea has repeatedly supported acts of international terrorism, including assassinations on foreign soil.
North Korea was removed from the state sponsor of terror list in 2008 in a bid to salvage a deal to halt its nuclear development. But in the years since, the North has advanced its nuclear and missile programs.